Open in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. We'll read verse 18 to orient our thinking on the topic for this afternoon. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. In this chapter 3, Paul is discussing the unbelieving mind and how the unbelieving mind is blinded to the glories of Jesus Christ. It's blinded to the realities and promises of the gospel, and it won't accept them. And he's speaking specifically of the unbelieving Jews of his day. Unless the Lord God removes the veil from their face to see the truths of the gospel, unless he renews their hearts, they'll never come to salvation. They'll never be justified. They'll never grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they ultimately will not be glorified. But Paul talks about those who have been born again, who have had that veil taken away from their face so they could see Jesus Christ. And this is what he says about believers in Jesus Christ in verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, that is what we ask in this hour. We ask that you would transform us from one degree of glory to another. We pray, Lord, you would do this by your word and by your Spirit. We thank you for the work you've accomplished on our behalf and the promises of salvation that you have given us and the hope of everlasting glory with you. Change us, we pray, and we pray you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As a Christian, I think one of the more difficult things we experience in this life isn't persecution from the world, or persecution from the devil, or the suffering that we experience in this life. But I think if we're a Christian and we love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything, one of the most difficult things we experience in this life is our own sin and our own falling short and our hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And just desiring to be like Jesus, to walk in his footsteps, and yet to fall down over and over and over again. The reality that we still sin every day in thought, word, and deed. It can be a very depressing thing. It can be a very discouraging thing to continue to sin in this life. And you might wonder, will I ever be rid of this? Am I ever going to change? Or am I just going to continue to sin over and over and over again in the same areas and fail in the same ways? Is there any hope for me? I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to be taken to heaven. But God, are you going to change me? Well, the topic we have before us today is the topic of sanctification. It's the beautiful truth that the answer to that question, God, are you going to change me, is yes. And so today we're going to look at sanctification. It's question number 35 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's in your bulletin if you want to look there. But the question is asked, what is sanctification? And the pastors who wrote the catechism gave this answer. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. They looked at the word of God and they saw the promises in the word of God that not only are we justified, we're declared righteous in God's sight, but they saw the truths of the scriptures which declare that we are going to be changed. We're going to be transformed in this life, more and more putting to death the deeds of the flesh and more living like Jesus. This answer is a really great summary of this doctrine of justification. But I think we could even simplify it even more when we ask, what is sanctification? I've simplified it to say this. Sanctification is the process of God making us what he has already declared us to be. Righteous. The process of God making us what he has already declared us to be. Righteous. One of the reasons that we're examining sanctification, not only is it bring comfort to our souls, but the reality is we must be sanctified. And so what is sanctification? We answer that question, but why must we be sanctified? Well, first of all, we are predestined to be. We're predestined to be sanctified. Paul saying in Ephesians 1, verse 4, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. Our sanctification, our holiness in the Lord is God's plan for you. God didn't just plan to save you and leave you as you are. But if God in his eternal counsel has decreed to not only save you, but to transform you in the image of his own son. Praise God for that. We must be sanctified because we are predestined to be. Now, secondly, we must be sanctified because we are commanded to be. We are commanded to be. God says in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45, I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Jesus picks up on this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, when he says, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Why do we need to be sanctified? Because we're commanded to be sanctified. And not only are we predestined to be, not only are we commanded to be sanctified, but we need to be sanctified in order to dwell with God. We need to be sanctified in order to dwell with God. The writer to the Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. You see, it's not enough that we have been justified. If we have been declared righteous in God's sight, that means we have been preserved from the wrath and judgment of hell. So in God's courtrooms, in God's record book, we are called righteous, but right now you and I still aren't righteous by nature. And in order for us to dwell with a holy God, we need to be an actual holy people, not just seen as holy, but we actually need to be holy. And so in order for us to dwell in God's presence, we need to be changed. We need to be holy. And without that holiness, no one will see the Lord, as the writer to the Hebrews says. So we must be sanctified because we're predestined to be, we're commanded to be, and we need to be in order to dwell with God. And so I want to look at this topic of sanctification this afternoon and give you a brief examination of what sanctification is, but most of all, to call you to grow in your sanctification. That's my hope for you this morning, that you will grow in God's grace and cultivate your sanctification. As we consider sanctification, we first need to see, the first point is that it is a work of God's grace. It's a work of God's grace. God is the one who does it. Now, sanctification isn't something that we can do on our own. We cannot, in and of ourselves, change ourselves. And Job says, who can bring something clean out of that which is unclean? We being unclean cannot make ourselves clean. A zebra can't change his stripes. A leopard can't change his spots. We need to be changed externally from the Lord. He must perform it. And so since it's God who does this work, he takes the prerogative of changing us to himself. He declares in Leviticus 21:8, I am the Lord which sanctify you. And so Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says that sanctification is of the Spirit. Paul identifies as well in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says the God of peace himself will sanctify you completely. God's taking this responsibility to himself. In our passage we have before us, we are being transformed. That's passive. We are being transformed. So somebody's transforming us. It's the Lord. We are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's the Spirit of Lord who performs this work in us. We cannot change ourselves. It's not as easy as saying, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and just start living godly now. I'm sure maybe some of you have tried that. I know other people have tried it and they've failed. We can't change ourselves, but God is the one who does it. Not only is God the one who does it, but it's also a work. It's a work of God's grace, meaning that it's a process. Sanctification, our transformation into a walking like the Lord or being like Jesus Christ, isn't something that happens overnight. It's not happening instantaneously or at the snap of the fingertips. Maybe when you first came to believe in Jesus Christ, you experienced a big transformation. Many of the bigger sins in your lives, the grosser sins in your lives, were done away with. But even from your own experience, you recognize that you still fall in sin. As you grow closer to the Lord, you see more and more how you still have sin in your lives. Your own experience testifies to the fact that this is a process. But even if we look at the characters in Scripture, we learn that sanctification is a process. It happens over time. Moses, one of the preeminent saints of the Old Testament, one who was close to God and spoke with God, the one who God gave the law to. Even Moses was still a great sinner after he was close to the Lord. He still struggled with anger in his life, so much so that God forbid him from entering into the promised land because of his anger. David, the man after God's own heart, committed adultery, committed murder, still struggling with sin in his life. And even the Apostle Paul recognized that he hadn't arrived yet. He still struggled with sin. Paul says, "Not that I have arrived or already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Philippians 3:12. And so we see in the characters of Scripture, sanctification being a process that happens over time. But we also see it's a process by the very testimony of Scripture itself. In our passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to the next. It's a process. It's happening over time. And so sanctification is a work of God's grace. It is He who does it, and it is a process. It's a work that happens over time. And so then, does that mean that we just kind of sit back and expect God to change us? Do we sit back passively and enjoy the ride and wait for it to happen? Are we entirely passive in this process of sanctification, as if spiritual growth will happen no matter what? Well, no, not so fast. As a matter of fact, point number two, we are called and commanded by God to be holy and to grow. We are called and commanded by God to be holy and to grow. God says in Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy." Peter picks up 1 Peter 1, verse 14 and following, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Peter continues in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." So we're having these commands to call us to grow in our holiness. The Hebrews passage, "Pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And Paul again in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And so we are to be engaged in our sanctification. We are to be engaged in our growing in grace. But if God is the one who does it by His grace, if God's the one who's performing this work in us, what are we called to do? Why is God calling us to sanctify ourselves? What are we to do, and what exactly are we doing? Well, since it's a work of God's grace, He is the one who's transforming us. Apart from His work, we could not or would not be changed. However, we are called to grow in our sanctification because we can cultivate the grace of God in our lives. And that's the third point. We can cultivate God's grace in our lives. We can cultivate our own sanctification. Now, many of you took advantage of the community garden we had here last year. And even if you didn't do that, many of you have gardens at home, or at least know a little bit about gardening. And you thought about all the wonderful things you could plant, all the great fruits and veggies you could glean from yourself through your planting process. And so you got the seeds that you wanted for your fruit or for your vegetables, and you went down to your garden, you dug a hole, and you put that seed in the ground. You covered it up with dirt. Now, are you able to make that seed grow? Did you stand there and look at that seed and just kind of start willing it to grow and to sprout and to grow up into the plant that you were desiring? Are you able to make that seed do what the seed's supposed to do? Well, no, you're not. The seed has that power in itself, granted by God. God's the one who causes that seed to grow. You can't make that seed grow. But what can you do? You can cultivate its growth. You can aid its growth. And so what do? When you go to plant it, you plant it where there's lots of sun, so it gets the sunlight that it needs. You go down and you water your garden so the nutrients can be absorbed. You put fertilizer on the ground to aid in the growth of this seed which you planted. You weed the garden. You take away the things that are harmful or can constrict or strangle the seed that you've planted or the plant that begins to grow. You can cultivate the ground where you've planted this seed. When it comes to the work of God of grace in your heart, the same thing is true. And speaking about the work of the gospel in people's lives, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, God has placed the seed of grace in our hearts. He's transformed us. He has given us a new heart. We can't make that heart grow. That's God's work. But what can we do? Well, we can make sure it's in the sunlight. We can make sure it gets the water that it needs. We can make sure it gets the fertilizer, if you will, that it needs. We can begin to weed out all the things that would harm it or strangle it away. God has given us the tools by which we can cultivate that grace of God. He's given us the sunlight. He's given us the water. He's given us the fertilizer, the things we need to cultivate that grace of God in our lives. And we call those things the means of grace. So how do we sanctify ourselves? How do we cultivate the grace of God in us? We use the means that God has given us. And there are four of them. The first is God's word. First is God's word. Jesus, in praying to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 17, asks of his Father for the saints. He says this, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. And so what Jesus was doing was what he was asking God to change his people by the truth, to change his people by the word of God. Jesus was saying, God, use this word to change your people. And you want to know what's wonderful about that? It was Jesus who was asking. That means that Jesus asked the Father to empower this word to change your life. Jesus asked this of the Father. It is certainly going to be the case. God uses his word to sanctify you, to change you. And so Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And Peter changes the analogy a little bit. He's talking about growing up. We can't make ourselves grow as physical people. I remember being a little child and being small, and I wanted to get bigger. I wanted to get stronger. I wanted to grow up like my dad. And it didn't matter how much I thought, okay, I want to be bigger. I want to be bigger. I want to be bigger. And then go look in the mirror. I was still the same height. Very frustrating. I couldn't will myself to get any bigger. God made me get bigger. He makes you get bigger. But what are some of the things you can do? You can make sure you get enough sleep. You can make sure you get what you need to eat. You can make sure you drink what you need to drink. You cultivate your growth. You give your body the nutrients that it needs in order to grow up. That's what Peter's talking about with the word of God. We need to be fed by the nutrients of the word that we might grow. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And so we come and we hear the preaching of the word.
would grow. We read the Word of God in the Scriptures and we grow. This is one of the tools, one of the means God has given you for you to cultivate your holiness. A second means that He has given us is prayer. Prayer is the act in which your soul engages in communion with God. It's the place where you ask, as David did in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." You see, God's will is that you would be sanctified. This is what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. He says, God's will for you is your sanctification. That's what God wants. That is God's will, your sanctification. And John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what did Paul tell us? God's will is your sanctification. If we ask anything according to God's will, oh God, sanctify me, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. In prayer, we come to God and we seek His face. And in seeking His face and in pleading according to His will to change us, He does. He transforms us from one degree of glory to another. So we have God's word, we have prayer. And thirdly, we have the sacraments. The sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Whenever you or I read the Word of God and embrace it with faith, the Spirit of God applies that Word to our hearts and we grow in holiness and in grace. And the same holds true with the sacraments, with baptism and the Lord's Supper, because they are visible expressions of the Word of God. They are pictures of the gospel itself. God has given us a painting, as it were, of the truths contained in the Scriptures. And so whenever we eat or drink the Lord's Supper, whenever we experience or witness baptism, the Spirit of God applies this visible word to our hearts. He applies the benefits of redemption to us and we grow in holiness and grace. In the sacraments, we all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord and are transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. God's word, prayer, the sacraments. These are means by which God has given us that we can be changed. So we come here today. We partake of the sacrament today. And by faith, believe that Jesus died for us. Jesus rose again for us. And Jesus will change us into His image. Fourthly, we have the fellowship of the saints. The fourth means is the fellowship of the saints. Solomon says in Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise." And the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 24, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love in good works, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together." And so we come together. We spend time together as Christians. Iron will sharpen iron. God uses the counsel, the prayers, the holy example of other believers as a means to make you holy. God has given us ways in which we can cultivate the grace He has implanted in us that we might become holy. He's given us His word. He's given us prayerful communion with Him. He's given us the sacraments. And He's given us the fellowship that we have with one another so that we might become holy. And brothers and sisters, isn't that what you want? Don't you want to be holy? Are you content with who you are? Don't you go tired and weary with the sins that plague your life? Don't you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Don't you long for the day whenever you will walk in perfect holiness before the Lord, never falling into sin again? Do you want to be changed? Or do you just want to remain as you are? I want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? If so, then cultivate your sanctification. If so, use these means that God has given us so that we might change. Take advantage of them. Use them. Nurture that grace in your soul. What a wonderful gift worship is then, isn't it? Just think about worship and what God has given us in this worship service on the Lord's Day.
All of the means of grace he's included on this day, a day that he has set apart for the very purpose of our sanctification. He's given us this worship service so that we come in here and the first thing you hear is a call to worship from the Word of God. Then you begin to sing the Word of God. And then you hear readings from the Word of God. And then you hear preaching from the Word of God. And there's prayers unto God that He would change us and forgive our sins. There's the sacraments we partake of in the worship service. And there's the fellowship we all experience with one another in the worship service on the Lord's Day. Brothers and sisters, do you see that when you come to worship, you are bathed in grace? What better place could there be for you if you want to be like Jesus? Come to where the grace is. Come and be changed. But not only on the Lord's Day do we get to experience these things, not only in worship, but we can engage in some of these every single day. In God's Word, we can read it daily. Now, we don't need to read 20 or 30 chapters a day in order to be changed. Even if we read just one chapter a day, we're still engaging with God's Word. We're still thinking about it. And many of you have in your Bibles scripture reading plans you can turn to in the back or in the front that will help you walk through the Bible in a year. I know the year's already gotten started, but don't neglect this opportunity. Jump in right where it is. Get into the Word as little infants. Long for that pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Take time in prayer each day. Even if you just start with 5 minutes a day, talk with the Lord. Beg for Him to change you and cleanse your heart and transform you in grace. And then we can have fellowship with one another. Let's try to spend more time together. Let's make that a priority. Let's look for opportunities for us to be together. And not be so busy, but be busy with one another. That we might grow together with one another. Let's cultivate the garden of our souls by these means. And take care to weed your garden as well. Now, there are many things in which we engage in this life that are harmful to our souls. I don't need to tell you what they are. I think you probably know what they are. The things that we've incorporated into our lives, the worldly forms of entertainment, different things that we do that choke God's grace in our lives. They're like weeds growing, poisoning our soil. Let's weed these things out of our lives and fill those areas with more and more of God's Word. So cultivate the garden of your soul by these means. And as you do these things, remember that this is a process. This is a process. This isn't something that's going to change you overnight. But you'll be being changed all the days of your life. And it's a slow process. You're one degree of glory to the next, one little step at a time. And so don't be discouraged as you sojourn through this life, as you seek God's face more and more, because you will continue to fall. You will continue to fail. But don't let that discourage you. Keep walking forward. Get up and press on, like Paul said. Leave those things behind and press on toward and grasp hold of that which Christ has grasped hold of you. Hope in God. Know that He will change you by His Word. And endeavor to live more and more like Jesus. And listen and trust in the truth of the Scriptures where Paul declares, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Cultivate your sanctification and grow in grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. We thank you so much that you not only saved us from death and hell, but you continue to save us by transforming us into what you have declared us to be, like the righteous Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do long for that day when we will walk before you blamelessly in perfect holiness. But until then, Lord God, transform us by the means you've given us, these means of grace. Empower them by your Spirit. May we hold to them in faith, trusting that you will change us, trusting that you, who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion. We thank you, O Father, for your promises, and we ask them and claim them all in Jesus' name.
Amen.